Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Heart to Heart Edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
Happy New Year, lovers. Welcome to the Heart to Heart Edition of the Living Spiritfully podcast. I'm Paul Galoro. This is our first episode of 2023. I hope you're so excited for this new year. I'm feeling really good. Every year I sit down and I kind of have an intention or a direction that I like to head in. And I've decided for 2023, I'm calling it 2020 me. Because yes, I've been doing my self-work for, lifetimes, it feels like at this point. And it's something that I'm constantly doing. But over the last few years, I've really fallen in love with myself in such a way that as I put myself first this year, I'm focusing a lot on what works for me. How do I show up for myself so that I can show up for the other people in my life that I'm here to show up for? And this is why I am so thrilled for today's guest, because I would say she was kind of one of the first people that really brought this concept of healthy boundaries, setting boundaries, honoring boundaries, and everything boundary related that I can think of all came to me first through today's guest, Bridget Dineen. I'm so thrilled for you to meet her. She'll be on in just a moment. Now, I was sitting reflecting, and for those of you that have listened to the Heart to Heart before, you know, there was this block of my life where I have no memories of anything. I just know that people have been in my life for a period of time. I can't remember exactly how I met Bridget or where I met Bridget, but I know it was through a mutual friend. It must have been at one of her parties, because I have this. And this was like years into us knowing each other. I have this distinct visual of us being in our friend's kitchen. It was a pride party. I had a white fedora on and a green tank top. I can't remember exactly what Bridget was wearing, but I know we both looked cute and we have photos of it. And it was like, we had the time of our life. But Bridget and I have been in each other's life for, I think maybe 11 years, 10 years, definitely a decade. And we've kind of weaved in and out of each other's lives, working on similar things together. And our conversation today, I just know, is going to be amazing. I have not seen Bridget IRL since like 2018, I think. I'm just really happy to be here with her today. Bridget believes in a world where well-being comes first. You can already see why she and I connect so well. She's a resilience coach and speaker who teaches healthy boundaries, strategic self-care, and sustainable behavior change through a trauma-informed lens. She's a certified Martha Beck life coach, meditation mentor, and a yoga teacher with 17 years of experience helping people lead healthier, more intentional lives. Through her one-on-one coaching, group programs, and workshops, she educates and motivates people to put themselves on the priority list. Please welcome to Heart, the boundary queen, Bridget Dineen. Bridget, my love, oh my God, I love that you're here. How are you? Tell me everything.
I'm so excited to be here. I could hardly contain myself. I was trying so hard to be quiet the whole time you were talking because I was buzzing with my own reaction to you having your 2020 me and all of that stuff. Is so good. I'm loving all of this. And even just hearing you talk about, you know, how we came to know each other and that sort of thing. It's like a trip down memory lane. I love it. I'm so excited to connect with you and to dive in.
Yes. I mean, I've always loved you from like the second we met. I'm like, this woman is just incredible. And like I said, we've been in each other's lives and we've worked together. But we've also have just this personal connection that, and our nature walks. I miss those. I need to get back into the city so we can just walk through brickworks and take it all in.
Yeah, we'll get it back. We'll get it back.
Definitely. But you're here to talk about aside from how much I love you, we're here to talk about your heart. So my love, tell me, how is your heart?
How is my heart? My heart is a lot of ways. Let me tell you. I think I'm not alone when I say that, you know, I've been processing a lot of stuff over the last few years, and we've been sort of thrown out of the nest time and time again with all of the various circumstances that we face as a collective. And then, of course, each one of us as individuals, too. So I'm a lot of different ways. But today, what I'm landing on, actually, it's sort of perfect timing. I saw, as I was pondering, you know, what we might talk about today or what I would bring to this conversation, I came upon this quote on one of my social media feeds. And I think it's a great place to start today because it kind of sums it all up. Now, it is a little bit of a long quote, so I'll give you the heads up on that, a little bit of a disclaimer. So stay with me here. Stay with me. This is a quote by John O'Donohue. Have you heard of him before, John O'Donohue?
I don't think so.
His stuff is phenomenal, very, very deeply reflective and introspective, and great, great sort of prompts for journaling and that kind of thing. You know, like if you do one of his readings and then kind of take it away and chomp on it a little bit. So that's sort of what I'm doing with this one today. So this is what he says. He says, "Each one of us is alone in the world. It takes great courage to meet the full force of your aloneness. Most of the activity in society is subconsciously designed to quell the voice crying in the wilderness within you. The mystic Thomas A. Kempis said that when you go out into the world, you return having lost some of yourself. Until you learn to inhabit your aloneness, the lonely distraction and noise of society will seduce you into false belonging, with which you will only become empty and weary. When you face your aloneness, something begins to happen. Gradually, the sense of bleakness changes into a sense of true belonging. This is a slow and open-ended transition, but is utterly vital in order to come into rhythm with your own individuality. In a sense, this is the endless task of finding your true home within your life. It is not narcissistic, for as soon as you rest in the house of your own heart, doors and windows begin to open outwards to the world. No longer on the run from your aloneness, your connections with others become real and creative. You no longer need to covertly scrape affirmation from others or from projects outside yourself. This is slow work. It takes years to bring your mind home."
Wow. I put my hands up like this. Our listeners obviously can't see because I'm receiving that entire thing. Bridget, how did you know I needed to hear that today?
I mean, let's thank the social media gods for plugging it in my feed at the right time. I so needed it too. And even today, just as we were connecting before you hit record, yeah, it's really clear to me that like this is the thing in this moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That thing about seeking solitude. I mean, in 2018, I closed my yoga studio. I sold all my stuff and I just traipsed around the globe, really with no set intentions, but that's where I really had to be with myself. And since I came back, I mean, this is now what, 5 years ago? I don't know how to count, but it's been a while. And there has been then through 2020 and everything that happened with that, there has been this forced be with yourself. There was like the intentional and then the forced and everything that you said about being with yourself. And then I have no words, but I just know that I feel this connection so deeply. So tell me what, when you read that, what lit up in you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the older I get, the more deeply I understand how nonlinear life is and how cyclical it all is. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's something happening as I read that passage that reminds me of where I've been. And to your point, the times that I've intentionally chosen aloneness just as a step along my own path for my own journey versus times more recently, perhaps that, you know, it's just been circumstantial and perhaps with some resistance on my part, and how we discover different parts of ourselves in different layers. And so it was essentially a reminder to me that coming home to yourself is a practice. It's something that happens on a macro level. You know, you might have a big decision in your life's path where it's like, oh, I was living for someone else and now I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to really chart my path intentionally. But then there's also the moment to moment coming home to yourself, you know, after a difficult conversation, after you know, something that didn't go your way after a long day, what have you. This notion of coming home to yourself, the more we practice it, the more embodied it becomes, so that it's the place from which we live our lives more instinctively. And actually, it reminds me of you so much, because Paul, I don't know if you're aware of this aspect of the phenomenon of who you are, but
please tell me.
Let me tell you about you, Paul. When you walk into a room, or when people meet you, they think that they've met you before. You know, it's like, I've had so many people say to me, like back when we do yoga festivals and stuff, people would say to me, I swear I know him. I feel like he's an old friend. And to me, something that I've always thought, and whether or not you feel this from the inside out, I'm not sure, but so much of that comes from, you know, how at home you feel within yourself. Mm. You know, you show up with such authenticity and such a sense of who you are, that automatically others feel at ease, like they have more permission to be themselves too. Right. And so it's something that I feel, you know, each one of us, of course, practices this in our own way. But again, the more you practice it, the more it becomes a way of being rather than something that you're kind of trying on.
Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you for that. I received that. And it's fun. I never really knew that, but now I'm starting to understand it a little bit more as I've spent more time with myself. So thank you for that reflection. I'm blushing now because we've just talked about how wonderful I am. But I saw this quote, not a quote, it was a clip of Tracy Ellis. Tracy Ellis Ross. Ross Ellis. Mm-hmm. You know, the actress, the one, yeah. You know who I'm talking about. She was on Girlfriends, Blackish, yep. Etc. Amazing. Diana Ross's daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was talking about how she wants to make people feel so good that in her presence that they love her so much, but that not that they love her, that they see themselves reflected in her, that their love for her is actually them loving themselves. And when she had said that, I saw it on the Instagram, it was like a gong just went bong, and it all my attention just went into that, and it really resonated with me. I don't know where I was going with this, but it was very similar to what you had said about that feeling that I have. And thank you, because, you know, for the longest time, I never felt like that. Like I said, I've only been feeling that a little bit more recently, but because I've been more intentional with my practice and more coming down to be with myself. And I know that's a big thing in the work that you do, is talking about coming home to yourself. Mm-hmm. I find that is what really gave me that chance to do that more. And I love that you're out there reminding people how to do this, why to do this, and the importance of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially at this particular juncture, you know, I feel like any time that things change, any time that there's like a shift in the foundation, we've got to revisit all of this stuff. You know, we've got to ask the questions again in terms of being able to remember what matters. And sometimes it's a remembering. Usually it is on some level, whether or not we're conscious of it. So, you know, remembering what matters, discovering what matters, reorienting ourselves in that direction so that, you know, so that it can all be in service of whatever it is that we're here to contribute, right? So the sense of, I think that cultivating this sense of fullness, it's funny lately, I've been sort of embracing this term, being full of yourself. Like, who else am I supposed to be full of? Like, yeah. Fill her up.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, it occurs to me that, you know, if we could each have that space, and in some ways it's a privilege, and in other ways, you know, it can also be something that you forge for yourself, regardless of the circumstances that you're in, this ability to really come in for a landing, you know, and to know yourself so intimately, that it's not that you're unshakable, right? Because I mean, we're human at the same time, but it's like, it's maybe a little harder to get thrown off. And then when we do get thrown off, we know how to find our way back. Right. And so to me, that's really what the core of resilience is all about. And I feel like in the last few years, people have maybe thought of resilience in terms of like white knuckling it, or, your ability to endure. But my perspective on resilience is kind of the opposite. It's like, yeah, okay, so like shit happens, but then can we please take a time out? Can we do all of the recovery? And then in that way, once we've recovered, that's how we build our capacity. And actually, as a fellow fitness person, you get this too. Like there's like this metaphor that happens in our bodies and in our muscles. Like there's so many parallels between, you know, what happens in the physical plane and what happens energetically and relationally. So, you know, when I think of resilience in terms of this sense of needing recovery in order to grow capacity, it's like building a muscle. Like you lift the weight and sure, you're pushing you're finding your edges and you're going to the edge in order to be able to challenge yourself enough so that you need to grow. But then if you just keep pushing at that point, like what happens? We end up overtraining and burning out, right? And injuring ourselves. So similarly, we need that sense of recovery. And that's how we speed up the recovery, right? It's this coming home to ourselves. It's embracing this practice of saying, let me be with my aloneness. Let me get really intimate with it and familiar so that I know where these paths lead. I know where this hallway goes and I can find my way back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned earlier that you have realized as time goes on, life isn't linear, it's cyclical. Mm-hmm. And that I find the more I sit with myself, the more I see the patterns. And as Catherine, my co-host of Come Alive, we've mentioned this before, the pattern is the pattern. You start to see where those things that we put ourselves in these similar situations time and time again. Sometimes they're with different people or with different jobs or with different things, but we start to become more aware. And we really don't realize that until we give ourselves that opportunity to stop, come home to ourselves, as you say, and be with it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you've got that pause.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to take that step back for sure.
So my curiosity, because I know from my experience, it was the going through life that then inspired me to be available to support people as they're going through theirs and doing their thing. And, you know, coming home to yourself is a huge, and boundaries is a huge focus on the work that you do. If you don't have to go into details, but what was it? What was that thing in life that made you stop and have and feel this need to have to come home to yourself and then actually do it?
This is such a good question. You know, it's if Nicole's notes version is childhood shit.
Isn't it always?
It's like, this is where we do this work. This is where it comes from. But yeah, essentially, you know, that's kind of where it was born. But I was one of those kind of overachiever kids that, you know, was always praised for being wiser than her years and ahead of the game and all of this stuff. So of course, I thought I had everything figured out from a pretty young age. And there came a point where I think I was 21 in university, engaged to my high school boyfriend. And then all of a sudden I realized that I was kind of putting my own stuff on hold. Like I had these dreams that I wanted to be pursuing. But I found myself in this holding pattern of supporting my partner's dreams, like literally financially. It's like I had more gainful employment than he did at the time. So I was like funding his creative projects and helping him out with stuff. But all the while I wasn't pressing play on my own creative pursuits. And so it actually all started when I decided to buy myself a guitar. Because the creative pursuit that I was putting on pause was that I had started writing music and I wanted to at least, you know, give it some kind of a go. Like I wanted to get out there and try it out a little bit. And so buying my guitar meant that I wanted to press pause on wedding plans. Because I thought, you know what, let's maybe start our marriage off on more equal footing financially. Let's, you know, pump the brakes a little bit here. And at the time, that's all I said was let's pump the brakes because this just feels a little bit imbalanced. And, you know, long story short, everything unraveled quite quickly from there. And so it became apparent that this dynamic was the thing. It was the foundation on which my entire life was going to be built had I not called that time out.
Wow.
So I'm quite thankful that I had that awakening, but it really was because I got in touch with my own desires. I let myself want something.
Mm.
I let myself want something, even though it was inconvenient, even though it meant speaking up for myself and disrupting a dynamic that had been embedded for at least a handful of years by that point, right? So like it was a total boat rocking moment.
Yeah.
So it really was this moment in my early 20s of saying, you know what, my dreams are worthwhile too. And like, if it's going to require me putting them on the back burner from the time I'm 20, like already, how about no? And so then long story short, I ended up getting more into music. I ended up kind of being on the Toronto singer-songwriter scene for a while. I played a bunch of different venues, like Free Times Cafe was my first gig on college.
Oh, wow.
And I played the Elmo Combo. And, I can't remember all the names of places now because everything's changed so much in the last few years. But, you know, I really did sort of live the local dream of going out and doing all of that stuff. And I even ended up having a song in a movie. So,
what?
And ultimately it's how I met my partner now, was through music. So
wow.
Like it's the big happily ever after.
I love that. And the fact that you honored that and you followed it, it was like that calling you just needed to.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I wasn't programmed to, you know, like I wasn't socialized in that direction. I was socialized for success, but the undercurrent, the unspoken stuff that didn't really show up until I was like a young adult was the more covert stuff around how women are socialized to sort of defer their lives to their partners and that sort of thing. And, you know, not take up too much space and yada, yada, all that fun stuff. Right. Yeah. So I didn't even know that I had that in me because I was so ambitious from such a young age. And yet, even though like I knew better and there was this big part of me that was, you know, really out there reaching for my goals, I sort of slowly, subtly started to shrink myself a little bit over the years. And that didn't feel very good. So thankfully, I had my awakening. I had my eat, pray, love year.
And at such a young age too, because like for most people to have that realization, often it's like much later in life. And so you had that foresight of like, I got to deal with this now so that it doesn't become that thing down the road. I can't help but ask, do you know your big three in astrology?
I do not.
Okay.
I have to be honest. I don't know what time of day I was born. So that has held me back from discovering more.
Well, you know, you could use noon. Because that kind of is like a kind of middle ground for the future. But I know you're a Virgo, correct?
Yeah.
So that archetype is very much likes order and also very, very pleasing. So that's why I'm curious what your other planets are to see like where that, I mean, the fact that you're...
I have a hunch that there's a Pisces something in there. Does that make sense?
It could, yeah, totally.
Like the emotional, watery, emotional stuff.
I'm curious if your moon is in Pisces, because that would bring the emotion and the intuition. Because you are very intuitive. I feel that. But anyways, we could talk about this another time, because I'd love to like dive deeper into that. But going back to you and. At such a young age. So then making that decision, following your heart, playing music, then I know you went into fitness, eventually into yoga. How did you bring it all together? And now with your message of sharing it to like now support other women. And I love this because I heard you say, you know, the way women are socialized to be in support of their partners. And now here you are, you break that mold and now you're sharing that message with the world. Not just that message, but the importance of putting the self first. So how did that all come together?
Yeah, so it was sort of like the trail of breadcrumbs. You know, I guess I was following those little impulses ever since the guitar moment. You know, that was the start of it. And then at that time, I was a corporate trainer. At a job that I did not love. I mean, I liked teaching people. I liked that kind of a role, but beyond that, I wasn't super satisfied with the place in which I found myself. And so I was like, I like teaching stuff, but I want to be passionate about the content and, you know, I want it to serve something bigger. And then that's when I got into fitness. I was like, okay, let's get into personal training. I believe in well-being. So let's go there. And then funnily enough,
all of the women that I was training, I was at a women's gym, all of the women for whom I was doing personal training, whenever we got to, you know, what's standing in your way or what are the obstacles when it comes to following through on these new habits that you're trying to embrace, every single time it was, I don't know how to say no, I feel too guilty. So, you know, whether it's skipping workouts because your boss wants something, whether it's finishing everything on your plate because your mother, that's her love language and you have to eat the pie, whatever it was, I had so many conversations with people about boundaries in service of their wellness goals and their fitness goals. I was like, aha, this is what I'm talking about anyway. Like, let's get into it, you know? And so there's sort of like this, in terms of my professional life, the things that started arising and the themes that were there. And then of course, in my own life as well. And there's also a big sort of mental health component to my work too, just through that, the idea of having this trauma-informed lens and awareness of mental health issues like anxiety and depression, and how those really can come up as a manifestation of not living in alignment with your truest self, you know? So it's very often in my own life anyway, a lot of those sort of symptoms that ended up popping up in my life ended up being healed through all of this sort of work. You know, it's through this idea of giving myself the space that I need to be who I am and to live in alignment with my own values and strengths and principles and all of that stuff. Suddenly, somehow you become a little less anxious when you don't feel like you're performing something you don't agree with.
Right.
So,
yeah. Okay. So you're meeting all of these women that don't know how to say no. Tell me, as someone who has a hard time saying no and making 2020 me my focus, what are some tips that you have for somebody? Because this is where the question comes from. So I incorporate bioenergetics into my yoga and fitness classes. And a lot of that is about making sound. And just to get people to even go, ha, as they exhale is like, you know, I say to the class, okay, we're going to exhale with a sigh. And it's like, one person, and it's usually me, the echo in the back of the room. But then what I try to do is I get people like, when we're full, shake your head out, yes, and then no, say no. And like, no one will actually say no, not even to say no to something, just the word no.
Just say it's got
such a negative connotation, or people are scared to say it because, oh my gosh, if I say it, then I'm going to hurt somebody or somebody's feeling, blah, blah, blah. Help me get out of this.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. So step one is to stop shooting on yourself. Because it feels how it sounds, right?
Yeah.
And I know I say that kind of quickly. So shoulding on yourself.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that the reason that we're so tripped up is that we think I shouldn't say no. I shouldn't disappoint people. I should make other people happy. I should always be there for other people. I should put other people first, right? So these are all the social expectations that we've absorbed over the years. And it's not to say that they have zero merit, because sometimes within there somewhere, there's something useful. When that's the default and that's sort of, you know, the way in which you live your life, you'll find that you're just squashing your own needs and desires all the time, right? Like, you're not even giving yourself space to even know what you need or what you want, because you're blocking yourself from even considering saying no in the first place. So that first step to stop shooting on yourself is to like notice where you're doing that, notice where your thinking is getting in the way of your freedom, and start to question it. So that's step one, just start to question all the ways in which you're pooping on your own desires. And then the next step is really about embodiment. So it's about sensing your truth, you know? So you have the voice in your head that's telling you what, you know, what it thinks you should be doing, but really in your bones, you can feel what's right, right? Mm-hmm. So this is about resonance. This is about, you know, tapping into, like, if life is one big game of warm or cold, or did you ever play that game as a kid?
Yeah. When you're trying to find something in the room.
Yeah, trying to find something in the room. And you're blindfolded. Are you blindfolded or you don't know what it is?
You don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you're going towards it, the person says warmer. If you're going away from it, they say colder. It's like, if that's your body is sort of like a, you know, like a tuning fork for that kind of thing. Right. So it's like you follow the resonance, you follow that warmth in order to get closer to what it is that is actually true for you. Yeah. And then finally, you need to develop those self-advocacy skills so that you can you can actually express yourself. So I love what you're saying about, you know, using sound, because actually in a workshop that I ran a few times last year that had to do with boundaries, I actually get people to chant the word no.
Oh.
So, and it's quite interesting. And this was done like through online workshops, so I didn't have the in the room experience that you're talking about, but just to hear people like drop in the comments afterwards what it felt like for them. It's very interesting. It's you'll get a lot of information if you just try saying no out loud or even singing the word no. Mm-hmm. And so what it does, it's a nice thing to do out of context, just like as the word itself, because it frees up that energy, right? It gets the cobwebs out,
right,
that are associated with it. But yeah, giving yourself that space is important. So within that, there are little like subgroups as well. So it's a tall order, right, to start advocating for yourself. But if you start where the stakes are low, then you'll find that you can start to build those muscles a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So that usually comes down to like starting to express preferences where typically you might not be. You might be going with the flow. It's like, oh, babe, we can watch whatever you want to watch. Well, just like pick a movie for a change, you know? Or like pick what you're going to order for dinner for a change if you typically go along to get along kind of a person. And again, it's not a big deal in those instances, but if it's something you're not accustomed to, it will give you that sense of like, oh, okay, I can speak up. I can express something that I would prefer, mm-hmm, and look the sky fallen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Those are such wonderful tips. And I know, like you said, they can be challenging for some that have never done that before, but finding easy ways to bring those concepts in. And I love that idea of just like randomly, and I do this to myself sometimes, it's just my dog and I, so I don't have anybody else in the house, but I'll just like randomly walk around and either say no or say things that I don't normally say out loud to people that I'm like working on getting better with. And I think that's such a great tool.
It really is. Cause it, you know, it gets easier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like working a muscle. You said that.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And now, totally like related but unrelated, I remember that one of the last times that I spoke to you, you were doing CrossFit and you were in a competition or of some sort. Are you still going to, like, how's that? Are you still doing CrossFit? Have you evolved into something else? What's happening?
So I stepped away from CrossFit last May, and now I'm still doing heavy lifting, like powerlifting kind of stuff, but just kind of on my own training program.
Nice.
But my thing of the year last year, I don't even know if I told you about this, but I picked up a new sport, and it is sprint canoe.
Oh my gosh. Tell me, what is that?
Right? It's like, what? So I was watching the Olympics.
I love where this is going.
I know, right? And so like the way my partner tells the story, he says that after every single event, I was like, I could totally do that. This happened. I have no recollection of that. But what I do remember is after watching sprint canoe, I was like, I could do that. And not that I could, because it's really, it's the hardest physical thing I've ever done, but I felt sort of like that would be a crazy challenge. And I think that I might be kind of designed to be able to maybe pick it up. So, so I Googled sprint canoe lessons in Toronto. Turns out that the Bombay Beach Club in the East End actually sends people to the Olympics. I think they had three people from their sprint kayak. So it's kayak and canoe. So they sent three kayakers, and I'm not sure if they sent any canoeists at all, but in any case, I joined there. And last year I went to the Canadian Masters, like the recreational version of the Canadian Championships in my first year in Shawinigan.
Wow.
And your girl has medals.
What?
And I will have you know, my Christmas tree is still up, and it's three medals, and they're all hung around the top of my Christmas tree.
Oh my gosh.
My Christmas tree has a neck.
That is amazing. Oh my goodness. Okay, so explain to me, like, I can only imagine sprint canoeing by the name, but like,
Yeah. So I compete, like, so it can be one, two, or four people, or War Canoe, which is 15 people. And I've done each of them. My main event, though, the main thing I do when I go out to practice is just me in a boat. And the boat is like just as wide as your hips. Like, it is expressly designed, it's no bigger than a pea pod. And it is expressly designed to chuck you into the water. Like, this thing is so unstable and ludicrous. You are ready for it. You are in a kneeling lunge the entire time. But not like the way you would teach yoga where it's like train tracks, as in like you've got some space. No, no, no. We're talking balance beam.
Oh my God.
Your front foot is in front of your back knee in this tiny little boat that is wobbling. And then you dig in and you're going for it. So you're just like leaning into this lunge and pulling back. And of course, the better you get, the faster you get, the more stability you create. But let me tell you at first, it's
a journey. That's amazing. Do you have like your own canoe, or do you use one that's like at the training?
I use one of theirs. Most of the people I practice with have their own, but I think I'm going to give myself a solid 5 years, I think, before I commit to that level.
That's amazing. Cause I was going to say, I live right by the lake. I'm looking at it out my window. So I want you to come up for a visit, obviously when the weather is conducive to that. And I want you to show me your sprint canoe.
I'm sure I can work it out. I'm sure I can borrow a boat for a day or something.
That, you know what? But this is what I love about you. I mean, there's many things that I just love you, period. But I love that you always just find something random and you're like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and that this is the thing, is that before boundaries, I never would have done it, you know, because it's funny. Like, it's a fun thing to do, and telling the story is a fun story. But behind the scenes, it's like you could go up to 5 or 6 times a week. And that meant that at least 2 evenings a week and on Sunday mornings, I'm leaving my partner at home. And I did not grow up in a place where that would have been tolerated, you know?
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of funny to say out loud, but it's the truth. That's what I kind of grew up knowing. And so it was just so interesting. I had this moment towards the end of the summer sitting on the balcony with my partner. And I was like, can I just say how much I love that you support the fact that I do this? And he's like, of course, it's not even a question to him.
Yeah.
So it just feels like this full circle moment where I'm like, aha, yes, here's another nod from the universe saying like, you're doing it, girl, keep going.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay, so now, is there anything else that is going to blow my mind that you haven't told me? I feel like there's one more thing that you got to kind of just like blow my mind about.
Yeah, there's one more thing. So back at the very beginning of the pandemic, when everybody was all like, oh, let's write a book now, let's do all the things, all of that, I was like, I can't really get into all of that stuff. I'm not feeling the hyper productivity. I needed to find something very silly to work on. So I feel like I want to make you guess. Could you have any guesses what my project was?
Did you get into puzzles? That's what popped into my head.
Well, we'll see if this has any bearing on it whatsoever, but no. Okay. I taught myself how to twerk in a headstand.
What? Now I'm going to ask for a demonstration.
That's for another time.
I want to hear all about that. Like, what was your training like? How often? Oh my goodness. That is hysterical.
Well, the funny thing is that I set it as a goal. And that, so I put on some dance hall and I get into a headstand and turns out I'm a natural.
You know what? I knew that. I could feel that.
So it was a bit of a short-lived training program, but it was pretty funny. I didn't even tell Keegan what I was doing. He came into the room one day and he's like, where are you? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm just twerking in a headstand. He's like, right, okay. As one does.
And then once things started opening up again, you had your party trick.
I have the party trick and I might have busted it out on New Year's Eve. It may have happened.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh. All right. So we've already decided you're coming up with a sprint canoe. You're going to show me how it's done. I also have a kayak, so I can just kayak beside you. And then we're going to,
followed by,
you're going to twerk in a headstand and I'm going to just dance around you.
I love it. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Bridget, I love you so much. And I seriously want to keep on talking to you forever. And I will, but I mean, this podcast eventually has to come to an end. But before we go into that, there's two more things we got to do. First of all, what's going on? What are you working on? What do you have any events, anything that's coming up? Because I feel like your message, a lot of our listeners may benefit from it and might want to work with you in some way.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, so right now with the sort of New Year's vibes, I am taking on new one-on-one coaching clients to help them do this very work, right? To find that pathway to come home to yourself, create space for yourself, and let your life be an expression of who you are. So that's one thing. So people are free to reach out to me personally through Instagram. You can send me a message if you want to connect and chat a bit about that. Another thing I'm excited about is I'm collabing with my bestie, and we've started doing some work in the corporate world. We've got a workshop coming up at the beginning of March called She Leads, Facing Today's Challenges Without Burning Out or Lashing Out. And it's an event for women leaders. It's a half day. It's kind of like a mini retreat and skill building workshop. So an opportunity, essentially. It's, again, it's sort of like a piece of this puzzle. It's that pie. So those are the two things these days.
I love that. That's amazing. And people can find you on the Instagram at Boundary Queen. Okay. Yeah. But can I ask you, did you do that on purpose? Bridget Denine, the Boundary Queen?
No, I have a very rhymy name. It's
I love it because I just imagine like a whole comic book series of the heroine. She's a boundary queen. She goes out and she saves the day. She
shows up on a canoe.
She'll twerk in a headstand and
to
build
scare off.
Yeah, exactly.
The boundary violators.
Yes, exactly.
It's a thing, y'all. It's a thing.
Put it in your parking lot, 2024, revisit it and see if that's going to be your goal for there. But anyways, Instagram is at Boundary Queen. Or you're also on the LinkedIn.
On the LinkedIn, yes.
Okay, amazing. Now it's time for our rapid fire questions. I'm going to ask you just simple question. First thing that comes to your mind, what makes your heart sing?
Music.
I love that. Any particular music or just anything that makes you move?
So many different types of music, but like in my heart of hearts, I'm like a folky girl. Mm-hmm. And so yes, the dance hall will get me up for sure. But whenever my partner puts on like the 60s folk playlist, like some Joni Mitchell, like down in that kind of a realm, then yeah, my heart expands for sure.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Where is your heart guiding you these days?
My heart is guiding me outward, like to connection, to community, and to sort of recognizing and leaning into interdependence.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I'm getting like goosebumps with your answers. Okay, so I'm just gonna throw in another one because I don't wanna end on this one, but so we're gonna do this one and the bonus one. Okay. What makes your heart heavy?
Oh my goodness, the world.
That'll do it.
I mean, this is the thing about paying attention, is that it's hard to do without feeling the heaviness. And for me, that's another reason why I come by this work so honestly, is because I definitely do feel the weight of the world on my heart on a regular basis. And so, yeah, it requires this practice to find that sense of energy and motivation and openness again, when things can at times feel quite bleak.
Wow. Thank you for that. And finally, what is the song of your heart these days?
The song of my heart? Do you mean like literal song?
I mean, it can be, or is there like an affirmation that your heart sings, or like a song that when you hear it on a playlist, it makes you want to get on your head and twerk?
This one is giving me pause for a moment. Yeah, there's something about, it's not succinct, it's not a fully formed affirmation, but there's something about being fully expressed. You know, it's like there's I know there's more in me to come out, and there's a part of me that wants to be more fully expressed.
Ooh, I love that. It's like that answer is like a dot, dot, dot. There's more to come.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, will you come back and be on the podcast again? Because I just love this and I just love your message. And I think it needs to be heard again and again and again.
Yes, please. I would love to.
Amazing. I love that. Bridget, thank you so much for your heart, for your time, for being in my life for all of these years, and for just always reminding me of how amazing life can be when you set the intention for it to be that way. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. It's always such a pleasure to connect with you.
Oh my gosh. You always have a place in my heart. And on the lake too, because I definitely want to see that sprint canoeing happen. Lovers, thank you so much for listening to today. Again, to connect with Bridget, check her out at Boundary Queen on the Instagram, and Bridget Dineen on LinkedIn. And of course, lovers, you want to join the Living Spiritfully Collective and let us know what you thought about this conversation with Bridget, and all of our other fabulous episodes. Next week, Dr. Patricia Rennie is coming back, and she and I are going to have a conversation that you definitely want to listen to. So join us again next week. Until then, I love you very much, and we'll see you again soon. Mwah.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.